You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, welcome into the Four Peaks Mini Bar. It is another edition of the Two Man Game. I'm Espo. He's Flex. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. Good.
I'm excited for today's topic because we talked a little bit about on the show the other day on Wednesday in post game, but I wanted to get a little bit more into Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
On the show, I said I think he might be the Suns MVP. I think I may have overstated what I really meant.
Okay.
In that, but to me, he's the ultimate I got you.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
And you know about this, because you're that kind of guy in general. It's the kind of guy that when the team needs something, he does it.
Yeah.
Whether it's hustling, showing that effort on defense, the passion, hitting a wide open three. He had a game where he had 14 assists this year. Like, it's a little bit of everything that he's able to do when other guys can't or are out because of injury, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate substitute teacher. That's what he is, man. Yeah. You know, I said this early in the year. I think I made a comment. I said, I think Grayson is the fourth star of this team. And I was, comparing it to him and Nurk and some other guys that were kind of filling the void. I will tell you this. I'm going to upgrade that. I think he's like the he's the 3.5 star. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know what Grayson is great at? Grayson is the ultimate I got you guy. And Grayson is the guy that says, okay, we got the big three. If they're all playing terrific, I'll be the guy you need me to be. But if one of y'all decide to take off or not have a good game, Kevin, you're not playing great today, I'll fill in. You don't got it going, I'll fill in. Same thing with Brad Beal. So he's been terrific, and I loved your point. I think people may have taken it out of context, but I know where you were getting with it. He might be the most valuable on this team in regards to the role he plays, because without him, this team's in trouble, man.
Yeah, well, and you can count on him to play that role, because what we heard, the big three, the gravity is going to change everything. The only guy that's consistently leveraged that to his advantage and done it well and stepped up for this team this year is Grayson Allen.
Yes.
And that's more of what I meant. And I saw the team release their Dan Marley Hustle Award stuff. And people are like, there's nobody on this team that deserves a hustle. Grayson Allen deserves a hustle award. This guy has done every little thing that you could ask.
How could you say? I don't get that. I don't think there's a guy even close. Right. It's Grayson Allen it's a landslide. Grayson Allen is everything you want. He's a coach's dream. As a coach, Espo, you always had those players that they weren't the best players. Like, they clearly were not the most gifted or most talented or most athletic. But when you went home and you looked at the tape, you're like, that guy's a coach's dream. Like, he just does a little bit of everything good. And he's reliable. He's accountable. He's available. Yeah. He takes advantage of all the opportunities, you said. And that's the difference between Grayson and a bunch of guys around the NBA that don't get – in the NBA, you don't get many opportunities to take advantage of a situation quite like this. And boy, has he taken advantage of it. I'm happy. I'm proud of Grayson Allen, man. Without Grayson Allen, this team is nowhere near as competitive as they've been. If 11 games over 500, I like to say if they didn't have Grayson Allen, they'd be a 500 basketball team.
Oh, they're probably fighting with the Lakers and the Warriors to try to figure out things. Because if instead of Grayson Allen, that's Eric Gordon in the starting lineup, it dramatically changes everything. And that's not a knock on Eric Gordon. It's just an indication of how well Grayson's played. And we talked about when guys aren't there or having a rough night. I looked up the stats. When Book isn't playing, Grayson shoots 48.8% from three, averages 14 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.7 assists. That's in 14 games.
Okay.
When Beal doesn't play, 42.9% from three. It dips, but at 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2.8 assists.
Okay.
So right around his
averages.
Very
consistent.
But then you look, Kevin's out.
Okay.
Right?
Tell
and
me
it's
what
only
that
been
is.
4 games.
Tell me what that is.
He's shooting 55.6% from three, 16.8 points, 3.5 assists, 3 rebounds.
Wow.
Right? In his last 5 games, this guy has had 21.6 points, 3.6 assists, 2.6 rebounds, and 1.6 steals.
Wow.
Averaging per game.
Wow.
And that last 5 is very much where Coach Frank Vogel said, well, it's playoff time.
Right? Yeah.
He's locked in.
Yeah.
He's doing the things that this team needs on a massive level. And he's, 5% up from his career average in field goal shooting. 7.8% up on his three-point field goal shooting and 6.9% above his career average in true shooting percentage. This guy is doing every little thing that you need this team to do. And that's what I've loved about watching Grayson is he's trying to make the job of Devin, Kevin, and Brad easier because we knew they were going to get open looks, but he's converting them at an insane level.
It's insane. Espo, the difference between, and I've always, the kids I've coached, I've always told them this, the difference between a great player and a good player is consistency. It's that simple. Talent can be the same, but how consistent are you? Those numbers are amazing. I'll tell you why they're amazing, because there's a perception that Grayson Allen, the reason why he's having the year he's having is because of the big three. But we can fight back and say that's not true, because in every statistical category, whether it's Devin missing, Brad missing, or KD missing, he's putting up equal numbers or better. And so it's not the big three necessarily opening everything up. It's him taking advantage of the opportunities given. Dog, 50-40-90 is the holy grail.
And it's in play for him.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's free throws right now. I think he's at 2% below or 1.5% below hitting that. And that's hallowed ground. That's Steve Nash when he did it. Everybody was like, oh, my God.
Right.
Like, and Grayson Allen is on the verge of that with – you said it right before we started recording. It's almost 50%, 50%.
There you go.
50-50-90.
That's what I was about to go to. 50-40-90 is the holy grail. I saw Larry Bird do it. We you know, growing up as a shooter, you're saying, man, 50-40-90, man, that guy is an all-time great shooter, okay? Man, this dude is tinkering with 50-50-90.
Which is,
that's insane, man. And here's the thing. He does it with reliable defense, ball handling, so many other things that you ask Grayson to do that don't jump out in the box score. How many times do they give him the ball to bring it up to free Book up or to free Brad up or take pressure off of them for possessions? Defensively, he's not the lockdown Gary Payton guy, but he's the reliable help defender. He knows where he needs to be.
Sneaky
good. Sneaky good defensively. And so I can't say enough about Grayson Allen. I'll tell you what, you know what's kind of bothering me about this? With Grayson is, and it's not bothering me, but I mean, he's starting, and I'm glad he's starting. He's going to get paid this summer. But if Grayson were a six man for this team, he'd be the runaway six man a year.
Yeah.
And I hate that there's nothing to do you get where I'm going with this? I hate that there's nothing to give those type of guys to express how good they've been. Because he is playing better than any six man in basketball, but he just happens to be that fifth starter. And so, you know, it's not going to be recognized as much, but he'll get recognized this summer, brother.
I mean, this is no pun to his hair, but, you know, baseball has a Silver Slugger Award.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have some kind of Silver Shooter Award, where if you hit certain percentages,
I love it.
You get awarded for
it,
right? Because what he's doing is going to be even if he doesn't get to 90 in the free throw shooting, which I think he will, even if he doesn't, that is an unbelievable season from all three levels. there. It's been crazy. And I saw this stat, and it's seven times or more hitting, I believe it's eight or more three-pointers in a season. It's him, it's Steph, it's Clay, it's Dame.
That's
nuts. He's tied the Suns' single game record three times with nine three-pointers.
Say those guys again.
I believe it was Steph, Clay, and Dame.
Come on, man.
Steph, Clay, and Dame.
Come on, Espo. If it walk like a duck and it quack like a, don't call it a dog. I mean, this dog. Those are three of the greatest shooters you'll ever see in the history of professional basketball, and for Grayson to be. That number doesn't register. When I kind of heard that last night and I had to triple check, I'm like, hold on. He's had seven games this year?
It's seven or more games. With eight or more three-pointers.
Dude, there's people. I mean, Devin Armani Booker, you know we love him. But I mean.
He can't get past six.
Yeah. This guy's done. Yeah, that's insane. I think he'll get the 10 this year. At some point, he's going to get the 10.
They wanted him to on Wednesday night, for sure.
Yeah, they were trying.
Against Philly. When you look at it, too, and you look at the list of greatest Suns single-game performances, it's like Grayson Allen. There's a handful of other guys, including Landry Shamet, which still is bizarre. But the list is peppered with a few other guys, but the top of it has Grayson all over it, and that's in one season.
Not even a full season, 60-some games.
And we talked about it. He's over 180 now. He's got a chance to catch Quentin Richardson for first all time. I think it's almost a done deal that he'll finish second. I believe it was Rajah Bell had 205, which was second.
Okay.
I think it's a guarantee he'll at least have second most threes in Suns single season history.
Well, let's talk about that. So Q Richardson's number was 220. What was it?
I think it was 226.
Yeah. So, I mean, we broke down the math yesterday. I think Grayson's got maybe three a game for the rest of the season. But this is a guy that we know can explode for five, six, seven, eight in a game. So I think he shatters that. Honestly, I think he shatters the Quentin Richardson. But tell him what you told me yesterday. I think that's the number that people need to understand this. Tell me the shot attempt number.
Roughly would be Grayson would do it in about half of the shot attempts. Quentin Richardson had over 600 three attempts that year. So really, he was letting it fly. It wasn't efficiency. It was just pepper everything, right?
Volume, yeah.
Where Grayson Allen's doing it with efficiency. Like, it's crazy the efficiency he's doing with it. And I'm not saying Grayson Allen's a star. And I'm not saying that he'll shoot this the rest of his career, but I'm simply saying you need to respect what you're seeing this year and how impressive it has been from this man. And even if he regresses the mean a little bit, he's going to be a valuable part of what you're trying to do the next few years, and maybe even into that next iteration come 2026, whatever that looks like if he keeps shooting like this. Because we know in today's NBA, there's nothing more valuable than a guy that can go on a heater from beyond the arc. He's a difference maker.
It's a three-point league, Espo. It's a miss and make league, and you have the best make guy in the league. Am I tripping? He's number one in three-point shooting, correct?
I think he's second.
Second. And I guarantee you whoever's first isn't shooting his volume.
No, and look, he's been around at the top all year long, too. Yes. So it's not like, he went on a hot stretch and gained all this. This has been consistently throughout the year.
So. You shoot 300 threes. You shoot 50-50-90. That's not an aberration. That's a heck of a shooter who's not doing it on a small sample size. And I'm sitting here, I'm starting to wonder, Espo. I mean, you got to put him up there now. Take away the stars. You have these players scattered around the NBA. I'm not afraid to say that right now, Grayson Allen can outshoot damn near any of the premier shooters in the league. And I'm saying throw the stars in there too. That's not those numbers. They're not lying to you. That's an insane amount of attempts and an insane amount of efficiency. And another thing I want to make clear to people about Grayson Allen is something we talked about. You'll have guys. I think last year Damian Lee was a good example, right? Mm-hmm. Damian Lee shot a very good clip from three.
Yeah.
But his minutes weren't elevated. The attempts weren't elevated.
It was in small sample size.
Very small sample size. This is ginormous. This is an NBA starter who's playing damn near 30 minutes. What's the, I mean, he's close. He's got to be somewhere close to high 20s with the volume he's doing it and everything else he brings to the table. That's mind-boggling numbers. That's one of the best shooting seasons I've seen in a long time from any damn player.
We are breaking down today the three reasons why you still should have faith in this Phoenix Suns team. Flex, I'm going to let you lay it out. What's number one on this list?
The big three, man. The big three. I mean, listen, we talk about it. I know they've been disappointed. I want to say they've been disappointing, but the season has been disappointing.
I think you could say the injuries have been disappointing.
Injuries, okay. Right. Injuries have been disappointing. But here's the thing, Espo, and I had a great conversation this morning with a trusted person around the league. And he kind of broke things down for me, and I was kind of feeling this already, but it felt good to get validation about this. And his exact comments was, from the outside looking in, if I'm looking at the NBA playoff landscape, there's three teams I'm worried about in a playoff series: the Boston Celtics, the LA Clippers, and the Phoenix Suns. And it's because of that star power. When you're going into a series with three guys, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Brad Beal, that can single-handedly win a playoff series, let alone games, you have to be concerned. So the regular season hasn't been great, but in my opinion, come playoff time, the big three is going to be a very dangerous opponent for any team in the Western Conference. And so that gives me faith that if they can get it together, they'll be all right.
I think my question is, though, have we seen this team play, or these three guys play enough together where you have enough faith that the chemistry is there? Because they just crossed the 500-minute mark together. And that's not a lot. And you consider, some people say, well, you know, the Clippers have had that in other seasons. Yeah, but they played together.
Right? That's right.
Like, this team in its current construction, and those three in particular, have not played more than that together. So do you have enough faith that pure talent, even though there isn't the amount of time together, is enough?
If you're asking me, Espo, do I think this team has got enough chemistry to win an NBA championship, I'll be apprehensive. I do. I mean, I don't know if they have enough time and chemistry to have that much faith and say, yo, this team can win a championship. But do I think they can compete, be contenders, and give themselves a shot if they get hot? And if things start to really pop off in the playoffs, absolutely. This is the epitome, and this is going, you know, this is the epitome of a puncher's, you got a puncher's chance, right? Mm-hmm. You got a heavyweight boxer that's got a heavy right hand, and you know in any given fight, if he lands that right hand, you're in trouble. That's the Phoenix Suns. And so chemistry and time, you're right. I would like more, but I'm taking my chances.
Let's put it in perspective. Last year, coming mm-hmm. in the playoffs, what, Kevin and Devin played 10 games roughly?
Yeah.
Before going in. They make it to the second round and push the eventual champion Nuggets the furthest of any team. They win two games off of them. Do you feel better about where this big three is positioned, having played? I mean, that's significantly more minutes than Devin and Kevin had played together before going into that. Do you feel better where they are right now or where they were going into the playoffs?
That's a great question. That's why I love you. That's why I love you, dog, because you're thinking the same thing I've been thinking. I've been wrestling with this, and I like this shot better. I like this shot better because I believe that obviously the numbers show there's more continuity than 10 games. And I got to say, when I go back and I look at the film from last year, and man, I mean, they pushed the Nuggets as far as they could with two guys, roughly two guys. A hurt Chris Paul for roughly five games and the DeAndre Ayton that didn't play an elimination game. And so I sit here and I say, you know, if that version of the Phoenix Suns took the NBA champions to six games, I got to believe that these three guys can figure it out. So I feel better about this version than last year.
Second reason that we have is the ability to score from all three levels, post, mid-range, and threes. So you're confident enough, because we've talked about it. We haven't seen this team put up enough threes.
Yes.
Is this predicated on them putting up enough threes in terms of feeling positive about where this is headed?
Yeah, yeah. This is a 3-point era, and so you got to hit the threes. I like the three levels. I like the ability. This is a team that has the ability to go in the post, and they get a lot of points in the paint. But you can throw the ball to Nurk in spurts to calm things down and get points in the paint. You know you got three of the best mid-range players in the world in Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Brad Beal. And you know that this team, even though they don't put up as much, you know that they have the opportunity or they have the potential to go absolutely crazy from the three-point line. And we haven't seen that yet, so I'm hoping we'll get more of that. But I'll say this. I put out a tweet last night. There was 11 clips of wide-open three-pointers that the Suns missed, all 11, wide open. Okay, so I like to believe that they're generating enough threes. It just seems like they're not making them. But if they were to hit three or four more, I mean, you're talking about a real dangerous team. So I like the fact that they're not one-dimensional and they can go and score from all levels of the court.
You bring up the open looks. I assume we know Grayson has been hitting those, but you need Royce.
Yes.
You need Devin. You need Eric Gordon.
Yes.
In particular, even KD to a certain extent as well. To hit more of those, yes. To really find your stride, right?
100%. And again, you're going to see what you got in Isaiah Thomas in the next 14, right? But all those guys have to hit shots. It's a miss-and-make league. I do believe in these guys, Espo. And for as much as the regular season has shown us that, you know, there's been ups and downs, there's just something about this team that tells me when it counts the most, I believe they can make those shots. But yeah, it's going to take a collection of threes from the whole damn squad to get this done.
So what's your third? I have the list, but I want to hear you say what the third is.
I want you to tell me what the third is.
They're starting to get healthy at the right time.
There we go.
And the only player not available currently as we film this on Wednesday is Josh Okogie.
What do you think? I actually want your opinion on this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. Now you're lobbing it to me.
Yeah, I'm lobbing it to you, baby.
All right, we can run
game.
It either way.
That's right. We're versatile. What do you think? I mean, listen, here's what I'll say. There have been times with this Phoenix Suns franchise where health has been on our side. And then at the end, we run into that roadblock, right? For some reason, it's just this weird suspicion that the Suns have dealt with all these injuries. But you look at the landscape of the Western Conference and you start to see how things are playing out. They're getting healthy at the right time, Espo. And I just feel like a healthy Phoenix Suns basketball team in a playoff environment is really dangerous. What do you think?
I think it's fair to say, as we stand right now, that they are the healthiest we've seen them.
Yes.
And that's important. But that does not make me feel better about the thought of staying healthy an entire playoff race. I need to see it to believe it, because every time we feel comfortable about the health of this team, there's some mostly minor injuries that keep a guy out a week or two. And they say, well, if it was the playoffs, you'd play, right?
Yeah.
And we've heard that. I need to see it. I need to see it to believe it, like I said, because history, and I know history can only tell you so much. It's only a look back. It's not a look in the crystal ball to tell you what's going to happen. But we've seen traditionally,
that's right,
like you said, this team struggle with that. Whether it's Joe Johnson breaking his face, friggin' Devin Booker's hamstring, Chris Paul, everything that happened,
Steve Nash's nose.
Yeah, I mean, freaking Danny Manning's random knee injury before the playoffs. Like there's all these things. KJ in the
celebration.
Yeah, in 92-93. Like there's always those things. And granted, I think they happen to every team.
Yeah.
But it really feels like when you put them all together, oh, poor Phoenix. It happens so much. So I'm not going to believe in the health until I see it in the playoffs.
I get it.
And even then, I'm going to be skeptical because you know how tough of a grind a 7-game series is.
Yeah.
And trying to get out of that healthy, especially with a group of guys who have struggled at times this year, in particular Beal and Book, I don't know. It's gonna be tough to see them come out healthy, but they are healthy at the right time right now, and that's important, especially if they're going to make a run to keep that sixth seed.
Yeah.
You need that. So,
yeah, it's a war of attrition, brother, and everyone has to go. When you go into playoffs, it's 0-0. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to deal with the same dynamics. You cross your finger, and you cross your fingers and you hope that they get through it clean, because it's roughly a two and a half month journey if you're going to win the whole thing. And so it's a war of attrition. But again, you said it perfectly. Right now, as currently constructed today, going into a game, the only person out is Josh Okogie. And if we continue to trend in that direction, we're going to have a full deck of cards come playoff times. And that's all you can ask for, is a puncher's chance. If they can go in healthy, I like their chance.
Which of the three, though, do you feel most comfortable with? Because these are all things that obviously you need all three of them, but which one are you most confident in that come playoff or, God forbid, play-in time shows up?
Devin Booker.
So the star power and Devin Booker showing up when the lights are brightest is what you're believing in here?
That's what I'm banking on. Okay. I'm banking on Devin Booker showing up, being Devin Booker that we know in the playoffs. He's held up for the most part in the playoffs. We had a couple hiccups with the Pelican series, right, with the hammy. But I will say this about Devin, man. For his career, he's been a quick healer. He has injuries, and he always seems to come back sooner than the timeline. I'm a little worried about Kevin, and not because I don't think Kevin can get to a playoff run, but because I realize that these are the most minutes Kevin's played in like 10 years. Yeah. I think these are the most minutes he's played since he was 25 years old. So there's a lot of minutes on Kevin this year, and I'm a little bit worried about how they're going to handle the stretch run. And then obviously Brad's been up and down, so I'm more confident that Kevin will be there. If we can get the other two guys to hold up, man, we'll be in good shape.
I think that's an underrated reason that they need to get the sixth seed, though, because you get that little bit of a break. Well, the play-in's going on. Yes. If you don't get that, you're putting additional minutes on them where it's one or two additional games that you have to play, and you get less time to rest and prepare for who you're playing. So that, to me, is why a fifth or sixth seed is imperative, because you need KD to get a break. Book, Beal, all these guys could very much use that. Plus, the coaching staff gets almost a full week to scheme and prepare for who you're playing, rather than trying to determine a one-game strategy with another game looming potentially as well. So that, to me, is going to be the biggest factor in health in particular, I think, because if you get that rest time, it gives them time to recuperate from any of these nagging things that may lead into the playoffs that could become bigger things.
Were you a fly on my wall today?
I was.
Actually, dude.
I tapped your phone.
You
I have
tapped it
you
because I'm going to be honest. I had this conversation before we came in. You saw I had a little pep to my step today, yes. Right? Good conversations today. I will say this. You're 100% right. This is something they're aware of. They want that extra week. Okay. I also will say that I don't think it was a coincidence that Frank Vogel used the word the playoffs start right now for us, right? Yeah. Last night and yesterday in his media availability. You want a hot take?
Of course.
You want a hot take right here in a two-man game?
Not too hot, though. This is a small room. I don't want you to burn it down.
Suns are going to win 50 games.
You see 11 more.
Yeah, I'm going to point them out for you. They'll win. They'll beat Philly without Embiid. They'll beat Atlanta without Trae Young. They'll handle their business in the two San Antonio games. That's four. And then they're going to go 7-3 in the last 10. This is my hot take. This is what I'm feeling right now after some lengthy conversations today with guys I trust. I think they're ready to go. I wouldn't be shocked if you start to see more of a playoff rotation going forward.
So tighten it.
Tighten it.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about
that. Does that mean no IT? Because if you're already starting to tighten, how can you experiment?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think it's a hybrid. Okay. I think you start to tighten it slowly as we go through the 14 games. You maybe don't go full throttle at game 14, but I think you're starting to tighten the screws little bit by little by little. You allow IT to get a little audition. And I think by the time we get to Denver OKC on the 27th and the 29th, I think they're going to be ready to say this is what the playoff rotation may look like, and these are what the minutes. I have a follow up for you though. This is interesting. So having that conversation today led me to ask a follow up question that I want to ask you. Are you at all worried that if you try to play these last 14 to get to 50 wins, or to try to get the 5 or 6 seed, and you overcompensate, or you put too much minutes on these guys, are you at all worried that that might hurt them going into the playoffs?
I think you have to do it at this point. Okay. I mean, like Frank said, you are in the playoffs now.
Okay.
And if you you spend a few extra minutes now, you get that break, you hopefully recoup then, rather than, I mean, over a one or two game period, you're going to put another 40 to 80 minutes on each of these guys anyways.
Yep.
So why not put an extra two, three, four in a game on them now to avoid having to be in that? Because the last thing you want is no margin for error.
Yes.
In terms of a play-in and that, and no rest or preparation time to begin with.
Okay.
So I would do it now, and I think you're right. Once you get to that that Nuggets game, you better be ready.
It's go time.
That's lock it in. Everything is in front of you right there because you play two against New Orleans. You play two against the Clippers, you could wind up closing a gap real quick by just winning your own games.
Absolutely.
Not even worrying about what other teams do. You could close the gap handling your own business. So I would go full throttle.
They control their own destiny. I think they like that. So I like your answer. They could you go full throttle, you take care of these last 14 like it's the playoffs, and you shoot for that week off. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're going with it?
100%.
I'm going with it too, brother. Two-man game. I love it.
That's the two-man game from the Four Peaks Mini Bar. I'm Aspo. I'm letting Flex set the pick for me. He's going to roll. I'm going to lob it to him. We'll talk to you next time.